A Dream, written, produced, and presented by Studio Swoon as part of the Greater Swoon Craft Creative. It would mean a lot if you shared or supported us. Head over to elegantseaurchin.xyz for more. Before the program starts, our sponsors had this to say: you are the heir of the found temple of Drezhvok. Scream skyward to ascend to demigod, demigoddess, or demi-higher beinghood, and leave all of your mortal belongings to... Wait, there has to be a mistranslation in my script. It says leave all of your mortal belongings to Studio Swoon. I'll get this worked out. In the meantime, you, listening, thanks, and enjoy. The myths of Alazeef and Black Moody Sands flooded my mind as we reached the peak. An aeon of fire, or lava, or death. We never learned much about this place in our learning years, but any kin worth their time would have roots here. I think this maelstrom of blackened dunes is where we all come from, but I have no evidence or reference of why I think that. It's just my intuition. Joins pointed out that in my wave casts, I should be more specific about things I'm unsure of or when I'm giving my opinion. He says that misinformation leads to trouble of the Zed degree. The kind that the tendrils talk about and correct if it gets too widespread. So listeners, remember that in all of my casts, I'm just a small, scared urchin that hasn't been around for more than her learning's years. These dunes of fine black sand, they're the wastes of grief. And that word, as soon as Jones said it, caused a torrent in me. Yule was setting up a circle, carefully placing a couple runes in the blackened sand. And I asked, is that a marrow rune?
And a wax rune.
I didn't dare touch them as she gently placed her fingers on the circle. They look brand new. They're actually really old. Uncle B thinks they're third or fourth cast from the century after the Glowing Dawn. Normally I'd be more interested in the runes, but the Aya I knew had... her uncle was Dee. Hey, Yule. Her eyes stayed closed as the runes began to glow. Here, what happened to Jude? She didn't flinch. Through the slits of her eyelids, she gazed at me. I have to concentrate to connect with the Eldritch people. I gripped the obsidian sands, turned and slipped down the side of the dune. As I descended, some toghins sprung from the dune, arcing out around and over me before plunging back into the sands. I'll ask over and over until I get an answer. What were we doing? I wiped my itching eyes and whipped around to the dicks. What is this trip for? Yule and Sina raised their eyebrows to Jones. I know where we're going. Why? Are we going, Jones?
Knox. Fable. Cool off some.
He took a deep breath.
I want you urchins to help the lunatics. I'm pretty sure you'll be able to, Faye.
I opened my mouth. I wanted to bring up his new book. But before I could say anything, he continued.
Here. I've been worried that it's taken this long.
This long for me to ask what this trip is about?
No, Fable. It's about your Q9. You haven't so much as acknowledged he ever existed.
Yeah, eh? Yule said anxiously, drawing her hair behind her ear. You haven't said anything about the incident and have been weirdly happy.
You've come close to letting it out during your cast, Faye, but you need to work through what happened to Enzo.
I felt flush. My eyes itched more. I wiped them, wishing they would all disappear. I jetted over countless dunes. I reached a peak. In this place of legend, a strange, pointed obelisk loomed behind the next dune. More jagged objects scattered the horizon beyond the dune, and out beyond them, in this field of despair, was that light. Brighter in the sky. It felt like it was watching me, like all of the obelisks in this strange land, so far over the curve of our tangerine speck, were all
taunting me. I screamed at them. What did they know about my Q9? They didn't know Enzo. They didn't know how much I wanted him with us on this journey. What do you listeners know about me wanting to tell him so many things under the golden shine, like I had under the purple shine? You know, I haven't said this. Heather tried helping before we departed. It was brief. She asked if I found happiness by helping Enzo be happy. I didn't have an answer. I think I do now. Smogs, I hope I do now. I didn't know what happiness meant. I don't think many of us urchins do. I may not have felt it while Enzo was around, but I know that I felt it bottled and cast out to the Moony Moss when he was gone. So, yes, Enzo helped me understand happiness in this world where misery reigns. If I stop here and never take another step forward, this miserable world will win. I can't get Enzo back, but I can keep on this path. I can see the things and wildlife I wanted to share with him. Who knows how long I'll be sad for. But losing Enzo isn't all of my sadness. Missing Heather makes me sad, so I know there's more happiness out there. In the cove, us urchins grow up with some degree of certainty. We think about death. We know it's just one misstep away. Eight-legged cats, matron baubles, and flickering rays threaten us urchins. The shadows out here, even under the golden shine, they're unlike what we know. I don't want to cast about what I'm afraid of anymore. I don't want to cast that I'm sad and alone. I had reached the monolith. The exterior was smooth. As I drifted the circumference, I realized that, much like Treat Your Terror Pet Shop, there was no entrance. I don't really know why I thought there should be an entrance. But I stopped and looked at the face of the dark stone. Much like had happened before, I was simply inside. All I saw were halls. There wasn't anyone there. Maybe it was my angst, but I didn't feel fear, just numbness as I looked down into the darkness of the corridors. I wandered down one. In the darkness, something flickered. And as I walked, the memories I had of Enzo came to life in hazy purple. The images stalked, keeping empty eyes on me. Some had points of starlight. Reaching an open alcove, I stopped near a memory of Enzo that laid near Heather. I sat down and rested my hand on the wall where Enzo was. My eyes burned. The room filled with a skyline that really set my heart ablaze. I cried, watching the hazy memory of the purple shine. I couldn't count how much time I spent there. Something inside me told me that the purple shine would never dither. I had to accept the fact that I had urchins and a Dix waiting for me. I stood. As I guessed on another channel, the memories began reaching that zetted day. There was something wrong. There's always something wrong. The walls glimmered with a familiar shimmer. And the halls didn't seem to line up. Was I going up an incline? And my skin began crawling because I heard a sound that put me on ice. I gaped, my eyes steady from where the sound came from. It had to only be the memory of the bed-clucking Spog Stalker.
On the wall next to me, Enzo growled, his pig snout curled back, revealing fangs that seemed much sharper than I remember. Around the corner, amidst the dazzling miasma, was the Smogstalker. No, not the Smogstalker. Hey, Smogstalker. It wasn't a memory painted on the wall. I heard the memory of Heather and Jones shouting for me to get back. My feet scuttled under me, grabbing at the wall to keep from falling. I twisted around a jet. At my foot, a bomb of cancer and pus burst, splashing my leg. It burned more and more by the moment as I took turns and misaligned stairs by intuition. Up I ran. The obelisk couldn't be this big. How many sevenths had I ran? Everything in me hurt. My muscles and my legs wanted to give out. Somewhere along the frightening jaunt, I lost my pack. When I thought I had some distance, I stopped and looked at my leg. My stomach lurched. I wouldn't get lost or die in this eldritch maze. I ripped the hem of my skirts in two strips, wiping the cancer off with one, then tying my leg with the second. On the walls flicked a plump magenta woman, clinging to the end cap of an aisle, staring wide-eyed down the corridor. The miasma got brighter. I looked down at Enzo. Can you help me? Enzo's eyes of starlight watched me, and I heard a memory of myself say to keep quiet. Past Faye said that she was sorry the Smogstalker had appeared. I gaped at the memory. I didn't know if this was right, but it was better than running more. My chest heaved as the infrared eyes of the skeleton stalked up the stairs. Slow scraping thump by slow scraping thump as it ascended. I prayed to the idolaters of the magenta that the memories playing on the walls would go faster, but as soon as I thought that, I cried. I didn't want to see Enzo go again. I slumped down, putting my head in my hands. No, no. No, no! The Smogstalker was over me. I scrambled, kicking and clawing to get away. The zetted foe with the tendrils was getting sucked into the wall. Into the wall! Into Enzo! I hope you bastard observers find joy in the pieces of my broken heart. And then I felt my leg explode in pain. I couldn't close my eyes. I couldn't breathe. The pin was stuck right in my leg. Enzo and the Smogstalker. Gone. All of the insane, immortal, cancer-ridden elder's pain. All of Enzo's pain. In me. The eldritch may have broken the spirits of our ancestors of the glowing dawn, but how many epochs have to pass before we move on? Before we go on from the pain and loathing and misery, I hope that we can overcome the dread and melancholy and looming fear. We are civilized in spite of this awful world. No cats, no stalkers, no radiation, no eldritch madness can break us permanently. Even if we're broken, if we're in fathomless pain, we can overcome, right? Please, listeners, I beg you, hope with me.